Hi there, welcome to A Wee Blether About, a podcast from the Academic Skills team at UWS. My name is Linda Riches and I'm one of the Academic Skills Advisors at the University. So today we thought we'd give you the heads up on a useful tool for academic writing that we mention quite a lot. I think we all mention this. Manchester Phrase Bank. You might have heard the term, not be sure what it is. So we thought we would discuss that today. So I've got Carly here. Hi, Carly.
Hi, Linda.
I've got John. Hi, John.
Hi, Linda.
And I've got Maddie. Hi, Maddie.
Hello.
So we're all here and we all sort of recommend this tool and all kind of quite aware of it. So we thought we would tell you a little bit more about it. So first of all, I think John's going to kick off for the start. Where do we find Manchester Phrase Bank and what is the purpose of it?
Well, you can easily find it by Googling Manchester Phrase Bank or Academic Phrase Bank. And despite its name, it's not a guide to speaking like somebody off Coronation Street, but it's been designed by the University of Manchester to provide their students with a list of common expressions that could be potentially be used in academic writing. It was originally designed for international students who were coming to the UK and maybe didn't have English as their first language. And it's designed to kind of give them a bank of expressions that they could potentially use rather than kind of just single word vocabulary items, but phrases that would look good in academic essays. But actually, they found that a lot of native speakers of English are using this tool as well to improve their academic writing. So it's a really good resource, I think, for getting the tone right and making your work kind of more academic in nature.
Yeah, and I think it's important to say as well, I know some students will ask me, well, is there a problem with plagiarism if I'm using these phrases? But actually, they're quite generic and they're sentence starters, so they're not completing a sentence for you. So as far as I'm aware, there's no real issues around plagiarism there.
No, and I don't think they would be picked up by Turnitin because they are, as you say, generic expressions. Mm. They're not featuring any content. It's often the case where if you look at the expression, it'll have something like the word X in where you have to, also the letter X, where you have to replace that with a noun based on what you're talking about in your own assignment, or you complete the rest of the sentence because there's a dot, dot, dot in there.
Yeah. So if we've got the web, I think, Mary, you've got the website up. If we go to the website, if we go to Manchester Phrase Bank and we're looking at it, can you sort of briefly guide us through where to look? Because it can be a little bit overwhelming. You just see lots of headings and you're not quite sure where to go. Where do you start with it?
Yeah, of course. And I think that's true. A lot of students just see it as maybe a bit daunting because there is so much content, but that's what makes it really useful. It means that not everyone uses it is going to come out with the same phrases. There's so much choice. Basically, how it works is there's a menu at the top of the website and one down the side. And at the top, we've kind of got the most common stages of research that might translate to a report or a dissertation, but you don't have to assume that every one of those is going to be applicable to you. So we've got introducing work, referring to sources, describing methods, reporting results, and discussing findings. So if you are generally writing a section that was introductory, you could click the introducing work section, or how to kind of bring in sources, you'd look at that one. And then down the side, the left-hand side, there are, I think, 11 sections here, and it's titled General Language Functions. So some examples, I won't read all 11 out, are being critical, defining terms, and giving examples. So basically, these are helping you to signpost what you're trying to say very clearly so that you don't just keep saying words like "this shows," which is something that I see over and over again. It's very literal, but it's also extremely vague because it doesn't signify who shows what, if what's being shown is positive, negative, new, old, important, irrelevant. Okay, so if we look at these language functions, we can see explaining causality. So if you click on that one, you can kind of signpost that a lot more and get some more words rather than just shows or states or something like that.
Yeah.
So most of those are self-explanatory, most of those sections. But one that sometimes catches people out, I think, is called signaling transition. But all that means is when you're moving from one section to the next. So that's actually really helpful to make sure that your essay flows better so that you can link all of your sections together. So I do think that that one is probably really useful. So you've got all those different sections. You don't have to look at every single one. Just think about what you are trying to do. So are you trying to introduce work? Are you trying to define something? And click on a section that kind of sounds like it might work for you. And then just have a wee look, peruse it, see what you think would fit. And again, you don't have to read absolutely everything.
Yeah, yeah. And I think sometimes, I'm going to bring Carl in here to maybe give us a couple of examples, but I think sometimes you'll see a phrase and you'll think, I don't really know what that means, or I wouldn't use that. And I always say, don't use it. If you're, you know, there's no point in, you know, putting in phrases that make no sense to you, because someone's going to ask you what they mean. So Carly, can you give us maybe a couple of examples of what you might find then as suggestions and that you could use?
Yeah. I think you make a good point as well. And when you're looking at the suggestions there, if there is a word or a phrase that looks really unfamiliar to you, don't use it, because you don't want to try and learn something new, but it will probably end up sounding really unnatural in your writing.
True.
If you are popping in a word that is really inconsistent with the tone of your writing otherwise. So look at things that are phrases that make sense to you and are helpful to you, and you'll know when you see it. So some of the examples, maybe you're moving from one section to the next, so that's kind of signaling transition, but maybe you're signaling transition and indicating an addition or a contrast. So maybe you're saying, unlike Smith, Jones has argued something else. So you're signaling a transition of ideas within your writing, a transition between opinions, between different authors, or in addition, it is important to ask. So you're still transitioning to another element within a paragraph or in a new paragraph. One of my favorite bits is identifying a weakness in a study, because I think this part of Manchester Phrase Bank is set up really nicely. It's almost like a flow chart. So it's really easy to follow and for you to decide which makes sense for you for what you're writing right then to incorporate into your sentence or into your writing. So if you're identifying a weakness in a study, you might start with, however, the author overlooks the fact that X contributes to something else. Or maybe, however, the main weakness of the study is the failure to address how something else has happened. So it's almost a flowchart or a mix and match where you can choose what makes sense to you and how that will help you to integrate the information that you're trying to communicate in your writing. So it's formatted really nicely. It's easy to follow, and it could be helpful not only when you're starting to write sentences, but if you've attempted to identify a weakness and you're not sure if it's strong, if it's clear to your reader, and you need to proofread that sentence, then go to Manchester Phrase Bank, look at this section, and see if you're using that similar language. And that will be a really good way to identify, am I achieving this, this critical moment that I'm trying to get to?
Yeah, and a couple of things there. Not complicated language. So some of those phrases that you've said, that it's not complicated language, it's just a different way of expressing what you're trying to say. And, you know, so it's important to sort of keep that in mind. Also, just another tip is to actually use the search bar. So I think a lot of students don't realise there's a search bar at the top, and you can just look for whatever you're after and sort of say conclusions, for example, and then it will bring up the examples. There's also
I didn't know that, actually.
We always learn something in these podcasts. I learned as much as anyone in these. I think the search bar is quite useful, and I always think it's one of these websites that the more you look at it, the more useful it becomes. You know, if you have a sort of surface quick look at it, you're like, oh yeah, useful, but you know, if you actually explore it, and that's where maybe for some people there is the website is free to use, but there is a PDF version that you can download, and there's also a Kindle version, and they charge you a few pounds for those. You can look at a few sample pages, but some people might prefer a printed version as well. So, you know, it's quite versatile in that way. Any other tips for using it that anyone would.
I mean, I think it's also quite good for content as well, not just language, but
yeah.
I mean, looking at the top bar there, those sections really, I think, relate really well to a research project or dissertation. So if you don't know what to actually do in a discussion section of a dissertation, there's some ideas there of what the actual content should be there. Or I think, Mary, you were saying before about conclusions. What do you actually put into a conclusion? There's some advice about how to deal with conclusions in there as well.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a really useful tool. And I think I've had so many conversations with students where they said, "Oh, wish I knew about that," or they hadn't, you know, they just didn't realise it was there. So it's a good one to have a look at. Definitely one that we would say is worth taking a bit of time to have a look at and see how you could use. And we've had a lot of positive feedback from students when they have used it. I don't know about you, but I can sometimes tell if a student has used it, actually.
Yeah.
And I'll say, "Have you looked at Manchester Phrasebank?" And they go, "Oh, yeah, I've used it." And it's, I think it gives them confidence. I think it gives students confidence, which is important. Because often when we talk about academic writing, what does that mean and what kind of writing is that? And that gives you lots and lots of starting points with that. So great. That's really our little potted guide to Manchester Phrasebank. Do go and have a little look at it. As we said, really easy to find. Just Google Manchester Phrasebank and it'll pop up. And if you want to speak to us about that any further, you can speak to us in a one-to-one. You can speak to us about anything academic skills related. Just book an appointment with us through the student app or the website. And as always, any comments, any feedback, anything you would love us to discuss, then email us at skills@uws.ac.uk. So bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
And thanks, everyone, for listening.